Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, and all of it brought to you by the good folks at Away Travel. Your luggage should not cost more than your plane ticket. Away Travel's luggage is designed with the highest quality materials, and still it's under $300. For $20 off your new suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/martini and use the promo code MARTINI during checkout. More on the great products you can get from Away Travel a little bit later in our conversation today. Jim was just doing some work with CNN, so he joins us by phone today. Jim, let's start with the good news from the Supreme Court yesterday. Today, of course, the big oral arguments on the cake bakers and the First Amendment and that sort of thing. We'll get a decision on that months from now, probably. But yesterday, quoting Fox News now, handing the White House a huge judicial victory, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday ruled in favor of President Trump's travel ban affecting residents of six majority Muslim countries. The justices said the policy can take effect despite multiple legal challenges against it that haven't yet made their way through the legal system. The ban applies to people from Syria, Chad, Iran, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. Lower courts had said people from those countries with a bona fide relationship with someone in the United States could not be prevented from entry. Grandparents and cousins were among the relatives courts had said could not be excluded. The only two who were against allowing this ban to take effect while it runs the course in the courts were Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor. So, Jim, obviously this fight isn't over yet, but until it does make its way probably ultimately to the Supreme Court for a final verdict on the merits, this plan is in effect, which is the way the law intends it, to have the president have this authority, and we'll see if it actually makes a difference.
Indeed, Greg. One of the things that jumps out about this is that it was a 7-2 decision. It was not one of those strongly contested 5-4. It means two of the justices that are generally seen as being on the left believe the government has some merit. I think on the basic facts of it, when they say, look, this is not, you know, there are times Trump's angry Twitter tirades have hurt him on this, but there is a very strong argument to be made that, no, this is not a quote-unquote Muslim ban. This is not attempting to keep out everyone who is of the Muslim faith. What it is, here are a bunch of countries where we need background information to verify that the people coming here are who they say they are, and those countries aren't cooperating with us. And it's not particularly surprising suspects. It's, for a long time, there wasn't really much of a functioning government at all in Somalia, which makes it very tough to say, hey, these people trying to come into the country, are they on any watch list? Is there anything, any criminal record, anything we should be aware of before we let this person into the country? And because these countries will not cooperate us, that is the basis for this ban. And at least seven of the Supreme Court justices say that there's not sufficient reason to stop this program until while this continuing court fight is going on. A lot of people are interpreting this to say, look, if they made this decision, then it probably means you'll see something, a similar vote when this comes before the Supreme Court at some point in the future. Also kind of worth noting, this is something of a rebuke to those lower courts, that it's kind of these instant stays saying that they just found that it was violating the Equal Protection Clause, that somehow the Equal Protection Rights applied to people coming into the country, even though they weren't American citizens, and that somehow this was amounted to the establishment of state religion. I don't think you can argue about the merits of this plan. You can argue about whether it's a good idea. You can argue about whether it's necessary. You can argue about whether it's the most effective way to keep terrorists or potentially dangerous people from getting into the country. I don't think you can make the argument that this is establishing a state religion. So that's where things shake out. It is also worth noting, of course, that there are many terrorists and many people who are dangerous who come from countries beyond these six. So that as much as, you know, some people may take satisfaction in this policy, it is probably not going to be the cure-all that if anyone says that is. So that's, again, but it's a good day for the administration. I think they are on legally strong ground here, and it's always a nice day when the Supreme Court says, yes, you are.
So smiles at the White House Monday and spilling into Tuesday. Jim, our bad martini is other aspects of the administration that are going on today. President Trump on Monday, and this is probably no surprise given how he has said that Roy Moore denies all the allegations and so forth, just leading up to Thanksgiving. Donald Trump's tweet on Monday. Democrats' refusal to give even one vote for massive tax cuts is why we need Republican Roy Moore to win in Alabama. We need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall, military, pro-life, VA, judges, Second Amendment, and more. No to Jones, a Pelosi-Schumer puppet. Now, of course, Trump, for the longest time, several days, pretty long by Trump standards, had kind of stayed away from the controversy when the allegations first broke from the Washington Post a number of weeks ago. But once they did, you quickly saw the National Republican Senatorial Committee sever ties with the Moore campaign. Then the Republican National Committee severed ties as well. But now that Trump is back into the endorsing Roy Moore business, so is the Republican National Committee, because don't forget that the president is the head of the RNC. CNN, the Republican National Committee will transfer funds to the Alabama Republican Party following President Donald Trump's endorsement Monday of GOP Senate candidate Roy Moore in that state's special election next week, according to a senior RNC official. The RNC is the political arm of the president, and we support the president. While Trump and the RNC are backing Moore, the National Republican Senatorial Committee is not changing its stance. An NRSC source says it is staying out of the race and that Chairman Cory Gardner of Colorado remains committed to this position. Of course, there's been a number of women who have alleged either relationships or, in some cases, sexual molestation of them when they were teenagers and he was in his early 30s. He vehemently denies the allegations. Jim, what do you make of the Republicans not only dipping their toes back into this race, but perhaps diving in?
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly wise, although, for what it's worth, this morning I heard a sense of how things will play out. Assuming Roy Moore wins, he thinks that shortly or immediately after he is sworn in as senator, you will see the Senate Ethics Committee take up an investigation of the allegations against Moore. They will investigate. They'll probably go back and interview the victims. They will probably see if they can find any corroborating evidence. And they will come back with one of two conclusions. Either they will conclude that they find the accusations credible, and that it is likely that he did this, or they will say that they do not find the accusers credible and they do not believe he has done this. If they come back and say, we find the accusations credible, then this Republican senator, former Republican senator, says he thinks there will be a vote to expel Roy Moore. It's not hard to find many Republican senators when this came out who said this is absolutely unacceptable. This is not someone we would ever accept in the U.S. Senate. And this is that they would, they would support this. I think it's pretty darn likely that every Democrat would vote to expel him. And I think you'd have a majority of Republicans vote to expel him. If that were to come to pass, the Republican governor would appoint another replacement, presumably another conservative Republican, and we would go through this whole process again, but hopefully with a Republican candidate who is not accused of doing horrible things back when he was in his early 30s.
So Big Luther could be back?
The thinking was it would not be Luther Strange. It would be a strange selection, you could say, Greg, because, look, he lost the primary. There was quite a bit of people who believe that the way he had gotten the appointed position from the governor he was investigating as state attorney general was just simply reason to not trust him, that they simply did not like they did not like the odor that was coming off of how that had shaken out. So Greg, it's Alabama. There's got to be at least one scandal-free Republican down there that they can nominate if they get a do-over, if they get the equivalent of a mulligan for that Senate seat.
A lot of ifs that have to happen there. First of all, they'd have to get elected, and we'll see what happens next Tuesday. So whether the voters send Roy Moore packing or the Senate does, and he ends up getting sent packing, perhaps away travel luggage will be helpful in that situation. Away Travel uses high-quality materials while offering a much lower price compared to other brands by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you. You can choose from a variety of colors and five sizes: the carry-on, the bigger carry-on, the medium, the large for extended stays, or the kids' carry-on.
All suitcases are made with premium German polycarbonate, unrivaled in strength and impact resistance, and very lightweight. The interior features a patent-pending compression system, which is helpful for overpackers. Four 360-degree spinner wheels guarantee a smooth ride, and a TSA-approved combination lock built into the top of the bag will prevent theft. Removable washable laundry bag, included in every suitcase, keeps your dirty clothes separate from your clean ones. And both sides of the carry-on are available to charge all cell phones, tablets, e-readers, and anything else that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone five times. And it all comes with a lifetime warranty. If anything breaks, they will replace or fix it for you for life.
There's a 100-day trial on this, too. You can live with it, vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it. If at any point you decide it's not for you, just return it for a full refund with no questions asked. And there's free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states. Away bags and accessories make for the perfect gift with our lifetime guarantee and 100-day trials. So there's always a perfect size and color for everyone on your list this holiday season. Or grab an Away gift card if you can't make up your mind. And Jim, when Away came on as a sponsor, I had the opportunity to get the carry-on, one of the smaller bags, and use that on one of my trips. And it really worked nicely. It is amazing with the compression system how much you can fit in there. I love the German polycarbonate. I'm not saying that as a joke, because it's amazing how light this thing is. I love the spinner wheels because it just glides throughout the airport. You know, you're lugging that thing a long way. That's why they call it luggage. And then another part of this, and I think you'll appreciate this because you're even taller than I am, sometimes given the angle that you're pulling your bag with, if the handle's not long enough, your feet kick back and hit the back of the bag and it drives you crazy. That didn't happen with this, and I really liked it. And of course, if you're having any sort of crowded gate areas or there's a delay or perhaps even worse with your flight, and that could happen given the weather this holiday season, being able to charge your phone with your suitcase and not having to huddle with the masses around the few outlets at the gate, that is a really nice feature. So right now we have a special offer for 3 Martini Lunch listeners. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/martini and use promo code martini during checkout. One more time, that's awaytravel.com/martini and use the promo code martini at checkout for $20 off any suitcase. All right, Jim, yesterday we talked about Blake Farenthal. Now it's time to swing back to the Democratic side and talk about Democratic Congressman John Conyers, the longest-serving member actively in the House of Representatives until today. He had been pressured now by a number of Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi, that given the allegations and the reports of sexual harassment settlements, that it was time for him to hang it up, which he was very reluctant to do. First, we heard that he was going to just not run for re-election in 2018, but that didn't mollify the critics, and so he announced today that he's leaving office. He was on Praise 102.7 with host Mildred Gattis when he said he was going to retire. She didn't quite get what he meant in terms of the timetable, so here's the clarification.
You are today, at this time, at this moment, in this period, preparing for your retirement, a date in which you are not prepared to announce at this moment?
Yes, I thank you for helping me get this into focus. I am retiring today.
I'm retiring today. And Jim, everyone's reporting this as John Conyers' retirement, not resigning in disgrace. They'll mention what led to the retirement. But, you know, when you retire, it means you're usually not running for re-election. If you resign or leave office before the end of your term, it's usually because of scandal, because you're really, really sick, or you got a different job that you'd rather have. And there's only one of those that seem to apply here, although Conyers has been in the hospital briefly. Perhaps the greatest eye roll here is that John Conyers, who has held this seat since 1964, is endorsing John Conyers III to be the next congressman from this district, although his son may get competition in the primary from Conyers' grandnephew, Ian Conyers, in the primary. So clearly we're going to have a major change in leadership in this seat.
Rival princes from the royal family, Greg. Cue the Game of Thrones theme. So I just point out that my guess is I put my money on the son, if for no other reason than he can reuse all of his dad's yard signs. Vote John Conyers, the name you know, to quote the cinematic excellence that is The Distinguished Gentleman, starring Eddie Murphy. Look, you know, let's not count our chickens before they hatch. When he says he's retiring today, and I heard my understanding is that he had to be prompted by the host to be reminded of what he came on the program to announce. Further indications that, sadly, that Conyers is getting long in the tooth and mentally perhaps not all there the way he used to be. When you say you're retiring today, you're announcing your retirement, you'll retire at the end of your term. Everyone's interpreting it to mean he's effectively resigning. And at some point he will submit his resignation to the House of Representatives, there'll be a vacancy in the seat, and that they'll have some sort of special election in the future. But that's not quite, you'd figure if he meant that, he might have clarified that, unless he's, of course, Alphabet no longer runs all the way to Z, so to speak. So it remains to be seen. At some point, we know there will be an open seat in this race and that there will be many members of the Conyers family probably fighting amongst each other in that primary. It is undoubtedly some time for some new blood, and I mean both literally, metaphorically, and genetically, Greg. I think I would eagerly see any non-Conyers. I want a non-Yers in that seat, Greg.
Even if a Conyers wins this seat, which probably is likely, it's still not the greatest legacy seat in Michigan because John Dingell was there for almost 60 years. His dad got first elected to that seat in 1928, and now Dingell's wife has the seat. So good luck, Conyers family. You still got a long way to go.
When did congressional seats turn into family heirlooms that you pass down from generation to son? This congressional seat has been in our family for three generations. It's like a liquor commercial or something, you know? When it's time to hang it up, you leave it in the trusted hands, you know? It's like an old watch or something like that, you know? Your grandfather had this seat, let me tell you. Yeah. Treat it well. Pass it on to your son. And completely forget that we're an elected republic. This is in the U.S. House, not the Michigan House of Representatives, and not the British House of Lords, although it's easy to understand that confusion.
Oh, man. It never gets less strange. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to visit our good friends over at Away Travel right now for $20 off a suitcase. Visit awaytravel.com/martini and use the promo code martini during checkout. And tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.